This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How to buy a new Ferrari for about $50 or so. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. The Ferrari of stocks begins trading on the New York Stock Exchange today, starting out at about $52 a share. It's more than an Italian luxury car maker. It's more than a brand. It's almost an adjective, like Tiffany. The new Ferrari is being launched into an environment that's been tough for many new stocks, but Ferrari seems to be a special case. David Menlo is president and founder of IPO Financial.
You have to love the Ferrari offering. At some point, people are going to say it doesn't matter what price it comes at. They just want to own a piece of a name like Ferrari. So we have a specialty situation with this offering. We believe it's going to do well, and this will be an item that people will just put away and have their bragging rights when they get together and say, I bought Ferrari at its IPO. But we think it's a specialty item and certainly not indicative of anything that has to do with luxury retail on a direct basis or the automobile industry on a direct basis. It's kind of in its own world, as the car has been since it was first created.
David Menlo at IPO Financial. Buying a Ferrari stock instead of a Ferrari car is a bit like the advice one of my down-to-earth friends in New Jersey once told his son. If you ever have a kid, name it Lamborghini, because it's the only Lamborghini you're ever going to have. Boeing will tell the world later today how it did over the last 3 months. The aerospace company seems to be doing well, boosted in part by the commercial airplane side of its business. But there are limits to how many new planes that airlines are buying, even with all the cash airlines have saved because fuel is so cheap. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports from Washington.
Boeing operates in several aviation sectors, which can usually balance each other out. Right now, the part that sells planes to big airlines is doing pretty well, but there's a catch. Scott Hamilton is an aviation consultant with Lehem Company.
The profits are still coming in, but the concern of many analysts on Wall Street is that the cash flow squeeze is around the corner.
Boeing and its competitor Airbus have a backlog of orders that will take years to work through. So rather than buying new planes, many airlines are just maintaining the ones they have. Plus, the defense sector is slowing down in the U.S. Wayne Plucker is with the research firm Frost & Sullivan.
And so the folks in St. Louis, the Boeing defense folks, are going to be challenged to justify jobs and to justify spending internally within the company.
But Plucker says the quarterly earnings aren't the best way to judge the overall health of the company. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
The European Union is demanding that Starbucks and Fiat Chrysler repay a combined $34 million in tax breaks they got from some European countries. Starbucks owes Holland, Fiat owes Luxembourg. Starbucks says the EU is mistaken and it plans to appeal. If you miss our further coverage of this on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org and in our podcasts later this morning. The American Dental Association estimates 181 million Americans each year go without seeing a dentist. What's that, more than half the country? This summer, the group that accredits dental schools has established guidelines to train a new kind of oral health provider, a dental therapist who needs less training but can do much of the routine dental work. Because Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein is apparently a sadist, he insists on starting this next piece with the sound.
For 38 years, that has been Sandy Jocelyn's soundtrack. There's a lot about our profession that's rote, mundane, and difficult.
The 58-year-old has spent nearly all of her career in private practice in well-heeled Vermont towns.
In private practice, the clientele generally has a high dental IQ. They have had preventative care all their lives. They have relatively few problems.
For her, doing those same things, polishing teeth, scratching a plaque, sucking up saliva, finally got old. 36 years in, or 36 and a half years in, you were bored.
Bored. Bored, yeah. Would I like my job? I actually raised my voice once in the last private practice where I worked. I said, I hate my job. I just want to do something different.
Jocelyn may get her chance. The Vermont State Senate has passed legislation to permit dental therapists. The House takes up the measure next session. If the bill becomes law, she would be able to drill, fill, and extract teeth.
I can contribute more to a profession that I've really loved, but it's been too difficult to hold on to that pride. It's just that I need to have something more to... I have a little more autonomy that helps anybody, and I think it's a little bit more fulfilling.
In the last 18 months, Jocelyn has left private practice. She's now treating patients in senior centers and health clinics, men and women who need more than a hygienist.
To take one person and make a bigger difference would be great. Instead of leaving with seven cavities and the need for four sealants, you just sometimes want to do more.
For 38 years, Jocelyn's come home from work to her modest cottage in Hanover, New Hampshire, knowing she's helped at least one person. As a therapist, she hopes it'd be more than that. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Tomorrow, we'll hear from two Vermont dentists who argue this new type of job will not work in practice. And some drinkers of Beck's beer may be entitled to cash back. A Miami judge yesterday signed off on a big legal settlement after Beck's drinkers sued over the packaging, which suggested the stuff was made in Germany. Germany? Why would they think that? After 2002, most Beck's in the U.S. is made in St. Louis, Missouri. BecksBeerSettlement.com. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.